Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
I should unmute my mic.
You probably should.
Yeah.
That's usually a good thing when you're, you know, podcasting and stuff, is unmuted mics.
I don't know. You know what? I'm so great at this by now that I can talk through the mute button.
Ooh.
Wow. No, that's not true at all. That's a flat-out lie, to be honest.
It totally is. So how have you been this week? Anything cool going on in your gaming world?
Oh, there's always fun things happening in my gaming world. I rented a game.
Ooh, I didn't know you could still do that.
That's what I said. I'm like, inspired by our discussion of The Order, I said, you know what, I'm going to try something. Let's try renting a game, if we can do that. So I Googled how to rent games in Canada. And
isn't that kind of what Redbox is, or is that just movies?
No, Redbox did do that, and I loved their service because you could...
Because I remember you talking about it. I'm like, why did you have to Google this? Do they not do that anymore?
Well, they pulled out of Canada.
See, I never used it, so I didn't even know that they weren't here anymore.
You're part of the... Well, see, I was using it for games.
Problem.
But, well, that's not true. They're the problem. They're the ones that can't come up with a sustainable business. But originally, I was using Redbox for about a year or two ago, and they just ended support for video games. And I was like, well, I guess you just cut my income going to you guys, so that's fine. And now they are pulling out of Canada. I don't even know how long they'll last in the States, but they've been there for a while. They probably got a strong foothold. I Googled how to rent games in Canada and came across a service called Game Access, which is sort of like Gamefly in the States, where you have a subscription and you set up a queue. They recommend 10 games. And basically, they send you one game at a time, two games at a time, depending on how much you pay them. I signed up for a preliminary month, which is $10. And it worked. Like, I did my queue, and they sent me a game, and I'm like, this game is crappy. I want to send it back, and I don't want to play this anymore. It was The Evil Within. Not going to give it any more airtime than that, because it was terrible. hence, renting games. That's what you do. And that's the issue. I signed up for the service on the 19th of February. And keeping in mind, it's the 6th of March right now.
Okay.
It shipped. It came 5 days later. I played it for one day and was like, this is terrible. Put it back in the mail. And I just got another game like yesterday. So it takes turnaround time to get the game to you, which is fine. Yeah. That's how the mail system works. It's not immediate. I understand that. But they have
these... Do you have to pay shipping for each game?
No.
Okay, well, that's okay. Well, do you have to pay to ship it back?
No, you don't pay shipping. You just pay your subscription. A neat feature that I did subscribe to, because I figured if I'm going to do this for a month, I'm going to like actually try to get my money's worth out of it, is a feature they call Fast Return, which allows you to – it's kind of like the honor system, except you give them a couple bucks so they trust you, where you say, I'm shipping this back. Send me another game. And then they'll be like, all right, give us your $4. We trust you. So I was able to send back The Evil Within as politely as possible, and I got the next game on my queue, which was not the game I was looking for. I was looking for The Order. I was looking for the new Kirby game on Wii U. They ended up sending me the new Kirby game on 3DS.
Oh.
So that there
lies
the issue.
So if you have 10 games in your queue, you don't get to pick? They just pick something that's available from your queue?
Exactly. And there's no sort of indication as to what game you're getting. There's a bar. At first I was like, oh, okay, there's an availability bar, and my queue is set up in a priority fashion, and the availability bar is like, oh, this one's really full, so I'll probably get that. That'll be great, which was The Order. It was like 3/4 full. They sent me Kirby instead, and it's like...
And it's not even for the right system.
It's not. Well, but again, it was on my list. So, like, I can't necessarily complain, but the queue system's like, well, I'm going to have to subscribe for an entire year to get the games I want. And
lame.
It's an interesting service. And if you just didn't want to buy games and just wanted to have a subscription and never own anything, it's kind of neat. But
I think I prefer, well, I mean, basically, like, what Blockbuster used to be is, like, you walk in, if it's available, then you can say, send me that, and if it's not available, then you have to wait. Like, it's not rocket science.
It's not. And in this, it's like it's kind of like, ooh, it's a game. It's chance. And again, I'm not really faulting the company. It's just, it's the way it's set up. And it's
RNG,
the way
it's gotta be. Is just not on your side.
Yeah, exactly. RNG. If for all those people who hate RNG and Hearthstone, you're not going to like RNG and game access. It's even worse. There are exploding mechs everywhere. But no, I do appreciate it. And but like after the first month, my first month was like 10. Then I added the fast return, which was like another $4. And then I also added...
So is it $4 every single time? Or yeah. Can you just... Oh.
It's every month. So that's why I said like I'll probably not renew the fast return. Actually, to be honest, I think the service is not worth it if you don't get the fast return. Because then you're waiting. Like turnaround time was... took 5 days for the game to get here. And then it took 5 days for the game to get back. So that's 10 days of your subscription that you're paying to wait. You know?
Yeah.
So it kind of pays to kind of maybe get lucky and get that one game you know you want and then keep it for the whole month and return it. But
so you can keep it for an unlimited amount of time, for a month, for, you know, how long?
For a month. And that's the interesting thing is the longer you keep it, it actually allows you to buy it, and every day you have it in your possession, it decreases the amount of money that you have to give them to actually buy it off them.
So okay.
So if you really enjoyed a game, you could just be like, oh, okay, well, if I pay them another $30 because I can keep it. But when I actually got it out, it was $60. I don't know anybody who would get that far with a game and decide to buy it from a rental service, but Blockbuster did this too. It's not rocket science, but it's interesting. Another feature they had that I added that I thought I'd be able to use to get the next game that I actually do want, and it's called the Reserve. And that's where it really gets crappy because you have to pay another $3 for that. And that allows you to say, okay, I want this game. Reserve it. So
then now you're up to $17 a month?
And that's with the I haven't even told you how much it actually costs per month. I paid $10 a month as a promotion. What it actually costs every month is $17.95 a month.
So it's $18 plus four for the rapid thing.
Which is a key feature.
Yeah, plus three for the ability to actually reserve the game you want. So you're up to $25 a month with 10 days of that as waiting time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It starts to add up.
Starts to sound like a whole just pile of crap.
This is Loot Crate all over again.
But it is. It's Loot Crate all over again.
But I'm not going to do what I did with Loot Crate. I'm not going to cancel after 11 months. I'm trying it for 1 month. I've tried it. I think I enjoy it, but I think at this point I probably just could have paid the $40 for the new Kirby game and been like, oh, this is exactly what people are saying. I'm staring at the gamepad and not at the beautiful HDTV. This sucks. But the reserve system is even worse because when you mouse over your reservation, it says with the order specifically, it's like, you are 36 of 36. And I'm like, what the really? I'm going to have to be subscribed for another 6 months to get this game. And by then the game will be like half price, you know? So, yeah. So
is this available just in case? Sorry, I'm just chat rooms asking which service we're talking about. Is game access available in the States or is it just Canada?
I believe it does ship to the States. But I know that...
Whoa. A Canadian service that ships to the States as opposed to the other way around? Because we don't normally do this. We don't normally get services.
I think it's Canada and U.S. Mind you, I don't know if they have a warehouse in the U.S. I'm pretty sure they ship to the U.S.
This is blowing my mind, dude.
Exactly. But if you are shipping it back, it's got to go to Montreal, as far as I know. So if you're in Quebec... This is the perfect service for you because you're shipping
probably
it.
Probably have a 1 day turnaround time.
Yeah. I'm in Ontario and, I said 5 days, but both times they shipped. Well, okay. I ordered Kirby on Monday and I got Kirby on Thursday. So it's about a full 4 days of shipping, like from order to receival. So it's interesting, but I don't know if it's the solution to the problem that I think I have, which is probably not even a problem. It's probably a, Ryan, you're impatient. Just wait, you know. But I don't know. I wanted to give it a shot. I did. I'm probably not going to renew, but I am going to try and enjoy my remaining time on the service. So
I see. Hardboiled Greg in the chat room is just asking if there's something wrong with Loot Crate.
You'll get
there.
Not
so much something wrong with Loot Crate as where Ryan and I live in Canada, we ended up paying, what was it, $30 or $35 a month for Loot Crate?
It was $35 a month, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really significant. And the stuff that you get in the Loot Crate, while awesome, I would rather spend $35 on a geeky t-shirt I know I want. Because there was, like, the one t-shirt, the Zelda t-shirt, was amazing. I love it. I wear it all the time. But the other two t-shirts I have are kind of meh. And same with, like, the exclusive pops. Like, they're really cool. I have my group behind me. It's awesome. But I'd rather just get pops I want, you know? Like, so we just decided that $35 a month was just better to...
He's Canadian as well.
Oh, okay, yeah. So there you go. We just decided that for $35 a month, we can get things that we actually want. So
I went out and bought two Amiibos for the price of a Loot Crate. So, like, if you're really into PopCap or you're into Amiibos, or you're into other types of collectibles, you can go out and
probably
buy a couple.
Buy the collectibles, yeah.
Or buy a geeky T-shirt, like. But in the States, like,
which is my collectible thing. Yeah. So many. Oh, I have a new one actually.
Look, what'd you get?
This is I'm a nerd girl, not a unicorn.
Oh, nice.
Oh, geez, it's from backing the Espionage Cosmetics Kickstarter. Oh, so neat. I got nail wraps and a really cool t-shirt and a whole bunch of other stuff. But yeah, no, t-shirts are definitely my collectible thing. So I guess, Loot Crate, there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. It just... It was just expensive for what you got.
Yeah, and Happy Dude 2, which, what did you do with the first one, Happy Dude 2? the randomness is also really cool, and that's, for sure, I totally agree with that. But again, at the cost in the state, or in Canada, but combined with the fact that they've become so mainstream that they don't make it random anymore. They are like, the day before we get it, it's like, here's everything in the Loot Crate, guys, and like, it's all over Twitter. It's like, imagine like trying to watch Game of Thrones, and then every time before you sit down to watch it, it's just spoiled for you, like the whole thing. And they even show you all the important bits, like all the gory, nasty details. It's like, really, guys? Come on.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, so again, nothing wrong with Loot Crate, just not for us. Which is really funny, because I totally signed up for Espionage Cosmetics, essentially Loot Crate thing. So,
oh, what is this Espionage makeup thing?
Have not I not makeup. Talked about it on the show before?
I think you've showed your wraps. You've talked to me about a Kickstarter. It's not a Kickstarter, though, is it?
So, they had a second Kickstarter that happened, I guess, back in the fall. And I've backed both of them now. And what they do, I heard about it through Veronica Belmont. And they make nail wraps. So, you can see they're kind of like nerdy type. These ones are Baker Street. Sherlock Holmes themed, so like all my nails are like quotes from Sherlock Holmes, and they're sparkly, and they also glow in the dark, which I found out last night and didn't realize. I was like, I went to check my phone, and I was like, why is my phone glowing? Oh, that's my finger. It was really weird, but they make really, really cool nerdy nail wraps. I wore them to your wedding.
Oh,
the,
yes.
The comic book theme ones that had like pow and zap and stuff, and they were all colorful and sparkly, and they're super fun. So yeah, they're I think it's just espionagecosmetics.com. They also do really cool, like, there's like a Borderlands theme nail wraps and makeup, so it's all the different colors that go with Borderlands, and I'm going way nerd girl on you, sorry.
No, this is good.
I try to keep my girliness to myself, but...
What? No, this is really good. Like, you may... Like, there are probably people listening that are appreciating this, because, like... I mean, I don't wear nail wraps, but, like, I know people who do. And I know nerdy girls who like to show off their nerdness, you know, by doing stuff out of the norm. Like, some people wear t-shirts, some people put nail wraps on. Yeah. Harbaugh, well, Greg's making a joke about Agent Carter lipstick. Is that a thing?
No. Oh. I don't think so.
I don't know what he's talking about. I haven't seen the series. Is
maybe,
that a spoiler?
I don't know, yeah. But it's – anyways, yeah. So I back them every time they do a Kickstarter. They have some really, really cool ideas. They're rumored to have some WoW wraps and some Blizzard licensing on the way. So I'm kind of hoping that that happens soon, because, like, I would absolutely freaking love Horde nail wraps. Like, I'm wearing my Horde – bracelet right now, so I want all the Horde things.
You just want to
Horde, like, not whore. Horde.
I don't think you needed to make that clarification, but yeah, just in case someone out in the real world was like, "Are you an Alliance player?" It's like, come on, nail wraps, bracelet, duh, tattoo, contact lenses, come on.
Yeah, my eyes are blue. Damn it. Oh, I'm going to have to get on that.
Yeah, you're going to need to get...
wrong color eyes.
It's like bloodshot red eyes. You go into work, it's like, what? Are you... you play for the Horde, or are you doing drugs?
For the Horde!
For the Horde, man.
Just little bit of both. Myself in the eyes.
There you go. You could just... do they have, like, the anti-red eye? Like, anti-anti-red eye? It makes your eyes red? I suppose that'd just be, like, vinegar or something. Just squirt some vinegar in your eyes.
Oh, we are so going so far off topic right now. Anyways, let's bring it back. So,
yeah, let's talk about Hearthstone.
Game access, not really worth it. Loot crate, kind of-ish worth it. Espionage cosmetics, always worth it.
Yes. Except for that custom charge you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that custom charge. We won't get into that.
No,
we won't. What we will get into is how Joss to Legend went. So, obviously, the February season is now over. We are 6 days into the March season. Joss to Legend, I ended up rank 5. I got as high as Full Stars rank 4, which is one win away from rank 3. And basically what happened to me was, I guess, last Thursday night. I got home from work, and I was like, okay, I'm going to push one last time. I'm going to see how far I can go. I got all the way up to one win away from rank 3. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I'm just going to keep pushing, see what happens. And then I proceeded to go on a huge losing streak and went all the way down to 4 stars of rank 5. And I was just like, okay, I'm done. This is as far as I'm going to get it. Because I had a friend that was coming to visit last weekend. So I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to really get much further than this. I didn't have... the second half of Friday or Saturday available to play. So I just kind of went, you know what? I'm good. I'm done. This is as far as I'm going to get. And it was the highest that I got at almost rank 3 was a good like 6 ranks higher than I'd ever reached before. I was really, really proud of it. The whole Joss to Legend hashtag on Twitter, as well as Keep Up with Joss, were just the most happy, positive forces I've had in my life for a really long time.
It's good.
The community was fantastic. Everyone was super excited and super happy and so supportive. It was absolutely ridiculous. Like when I finally tweeted out, I tweeted my stats. So it showed the stats from all my games, the decks that I used and my win-loss against all the other classes, because I used Hearthstone Deck Tracker, which is probably the best tool you can use when you're trying to ladder up. So it tracked all my games. I showed my win-loss rate, how many games I played. I think I ended up playing something around 250 games. It was a huge commitment and a huge achievement on my end. Considering I'd never really taken ladder seriously before, like I've always come from a place of playing Hearthstone for fun with friends. Like I love watching it. I love watching pros, but I've never really sat down and made an attempt to ladder up. So... It was a learning experience, and I think that was part of it, is that I took a lot of time at the beginning of the season to try to kind of learn a lot of things. I spectated a lot. I talked to a lot of people, and it took a lot of time. So by the time I actually really started to push and spend, you know, hours sitting and playing, it was probably a week and a half into the season. I had been playing, I had been trying, I had been going up a rank or two here and there, but I made my first real big push and my first big leap in ranks about a week and a half, 2 weeks in, and it just, that 2 weeks in, I should have been at rank 5, and I think I was at rank, like, 10-ish. And so I just didn't have enough time. I didn't commit enough to it at the beginning, which, you know, it's fine because it's a learning experience. As a result, I got really, really into Reddit.
Usually how you get into Reddit. Usually you get into Reddit from another really deep, dark hole that we won't talk about here. But
yeah, I mean, like the Angry Chicken subreddit, which is TAC Podcast. There's a competitive Hearthstone subreddit, and there's the Hearthstone subreddit itself. And all three of those places, like I was on them all day, every day. I was reading everything I could get my hands on. I got really into the game. I got really into the fans, and it was a completely positive experience. I felt like I was getting a little bit burnt out here and there, but overall, it just reinvigorated my love of the game. And then there was a huge announcement today of Black Rock Mountain is the next adventure expansion that's happening, and that's happening in April. And I heard that, and I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. And, you know, like, I'm way, way back into, like, it's revitalized my love of Hearthstone. And so that's kind of the Joss to Legend update, but you should still follow the hashtag, because I was having a conversation with Terpster of The Instance and Yogscast, and it was probably 3 or 4 days ago now. And because we were talking last season, he was asking how it was going and stuff. And he was like, oh, I'm totally going to get to Legend next month. I'm just, you know, like, I'm not going to try in February, but I'm going to try in March. I'm like, okay, yeah, good luck. You know, like, when we were kind of talking through it and whatever. So then he sent me a message and asked how far I ended up in the season. I was like, oh, well, I got to 5, but, you know, the highest I was, it was full stars of rank 4. And he's like, oh, psh, I'm going to blow that out of the water. You suck, blah, blah, blah. And, like, because he's one of my best friends. Like, he's just totally ribbing me. And so I was just like, dude, come on. And I was like, you even have more days in the month. And he's like, oh, well, why don't you just, like, try to beat me then? And I was like, well, okay. So I'm still using the Joss to Legend hashtag as well as Joss versus Terps. So if you want to follow that, because essentially now whoever gets higher in the ladder, so we're obviously we're trying for Legend, but whoever ends up higher in the ladder is buying beers at Nurtacular. So, yeah, there are beers on the line, people. This is serious now.
How do we all get in on this so Terps buys us beers?
I don't know. You'll have to tweet him and find out.
I'll have to figure out something that I can beat him in. I would not beat him in Hearthstone. I was saying to you, like, wow, that's like 15 ranks higher than I've ever gotten. So, like, that's a thumbs up. That's incredible. And I think, like, I don't play a lot of Hearthstone, but the most fun I've had playing Hearthstone was watching you play. Like, I was spectating, trying out the spectator mode. I've never played before. So I just, like, I was doing work and I had it up on my screen and I was like, I'm going to spy on Jocelyn. And then we were like texting back and forth. I'm like, okay, what's happening here? And what the fuck was that? It just wiped the board. Like, I've never seen that before. And it's just so many different things happening that I like. It's beyond me, but it's interesting to watch. But that adventure announcement they had today, even though I haven't beat Naxxramas yet, I am so looking forward to that adventure because
it looks so much fun.
I love single player content. I love just even though the bosses that we're playing are mean and they kick my butt every time. But it's still interesting, so I'm super looking forward, and I can't believe that it's coming out in April. That's crazy.
I know the turnaround time on Hearthstone is insane, and I love it because we're so used to getting announcements from Blizzard and then waiting 2 years, and then getting an announcement that remember that thing that we told you about 2 years ago? It's an alpha. Well, God damn it, Blizzard!
They're still doing it. Like the iPhone is, I think it's been a year or so, and it's still TM soon, but.
But they are showing the interface, and it's playable from what I understand, at least internally. So, you know, like, it's coming. We'll see it really shortly, I think. But, yeah, so that's where the whole Joss to Legend thing stands. And Barbecue Master in the chat room says that I'm going to destroy Terpster, and he was watching me play today. I went 10-0. Because I started the season at rank 17 because of the bonus stars that I earned, and I'm up to rank 12 now because I literally went 10-0.
Oh.
So I think Terpster's,
he was probably...
He's in some trouble.
You know what's going to happen? It's like, he's like, you know what? I was going to buy Jocelyn beers anyways at Intertacular. I haven't seen her. Like, he wasn't there last year. So he's probably like, you know what? I'm going to do her a favor and give her something to work towards to inspire her to be angry and win. Yep. So, I mean, that's if you want an out, Terps, there's your out, and you could do it gracefully, or, you know, you could just keep rubbing it in and seeing how that goes, see how many beers Barbecue you rack Master. Up.
Yeah, Barbecue Master's currently, he is correcting me. It was 11-1 because I got to the point where I had to stop because I had to play Game of Thrones, which we're going to talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to play Game of Thrones. So I have unstable portals in my mage deck. So I played the unstable portal, and I pulled a Fellreaver. So that is an 8/8 minion, normally costs 5 mana, but because it came out of the portal, it costs 2 mana.
Ah.
And the only thing is, the text on the card says, every time your opponent plays a card, burn the top 3 cards of your deck. So I'm sitting there, it's turn 2, because I think I coined Unstable Portal.
Right.
I'm sitting there with this 2 mana Fellreaver, and I'm just like, do I play it? Do I not play it? Like, I have other plays, but I'm just like, when am I ever going to play this card ever again? I have to walk away and lose now anyway, because I said I'm not going to play, or I'm not going to walk away until I lose. So I'm just like, you know, I have to lose this game anyway. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm playing it. I don't even care. I'm playing it. It was a Zulok, which basically means that he just emptied his hand in the next two turns and burned through my entire deck. I think I pulled two more cards. It just because I had two turns, so I actually got to draw two cards. But yeah, I hit him in the face once with it, I think, because he had the Voidwalkers,
right?
I think the taunts anyway, the 1/3 taunts. And I was just like, God damn it! Of course, my removal didn't pull it, you know, like. So I just got one swing to the face in, and I was like, I'm happy with this. And then so he ended up smacking me with a whole bunch of stuff, and then I died to fatigue. And I was like, oh well, at least I got to play the Fel Reaver. It's a terrible card, even at 2 mana. Awful.
Well, there you go. Chandledorf likes it.
Yeah.
He likes the Fel Reaver.
It's terrible.
Well,
terrible.
Nah, it's to each his own. Maybe he has a use for it. I don't know what we're talking about, so...
Yeah,
it's all good.
No, it's terrible. But anyway, so that's my Hearthstone update. We didn't do an episode of Angry Chicken this week because Garrett was sick. So anyone who's looking for a Joss the Legend update, that is what is going on. So keep following the hashtag because I'm going to get there eventually. You don't want to miss the announcement.
The smack talk is real. It's only going to get better from here, folks. So if you're interested in that little heated debate, I can't even imagine how heated the debate will be in July when there are beers in the mix, and I will be there.
Yes, you will be. I'm so excited.
We haven't talked about Nurtacular, have we? Like,
no, we haven't.
We haven't. So, we're going, right? Last I checked. I picked up tickets.
Yeah, sorry, you chose that time. I was just taking a big swig of Diet Coke, and I gave it a thumbs up. But
yeah, oh, well, like, yeah, hey, it's interesting. Like, last year I wasn't able to go because of the wedding. Like, it was like, well, funds are tight as it is, so we'll have to bow out. And I did dearly miss it. And I really do feel like 2015 is kind of like, this is the make it, or, you know, don't. Because, like, I have to go this year. Like,
yes,
2015. Like, I don't know what's going to happen after 2015. Like, let's do it. Let's go to Nurtacular. So I got two tickets. Ashley and I are going again. And
oh, good. I didn't know Ashley was going to go. That's fantastic.
Yeah. We had talked about me going alone. I was like, you know what? It's like, I'd just probably be a mess without her. And this is the honest truth. So she'll be there. And I think we're going to try to fly out together. That'd be really good. And
yeah, that would be so fun.
We'll all hang out and leave YYZ, as they call it, on the streets. Or in this little iPhone app that I have that tells me how much airplane tickets are going to cost. And yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And I'm going to try to stay a couple extra days and see how that goes.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So what have you been playing this week? Because, I mean, Hearthstone is pretty much all I've been playing, other than Game of Thrones, which we're going to talk about shortly. So you've had something in the notes for the last, like, 2 or 3 weeks, and we just have not had time to cover it. So, Ryan,
yeah,
what have you been playing?
Well, I want to tell you about this thing called Grey Goo.
And I have heard of this thing called Grey Goo.
Yeah, it's this thing you get when you've been, you know, you've been in dirty place. No, that's not true.
No, stop.
I think it is like, I remember hearing it is like a something along the lines of like string theory or something. It's like a theoretical science or something. But I don't understand that. What I do understand is that there's a video game called Grey Goo put out by some ex-Command & Conquer developers. And it is an RTS. We have not had a good RTS on this show in a very long time. Since Heartless
Swarm. Since StarCraft 2. Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Let's inject a little more RTS into this show. And Grey Goo is just like StarCraft 2 in the presentation, in that you're getting these wonderfully animated, except for the voice, like, syncing for some reason. No game can ever do that right except for Blizzard for some reason. We'll talk more about that later when we talk about Game of Thrones. But, yeah, there's some beautiful cinematics that set up the story. There's, like, the interstitial sort of cinematics where it's, like, the talking heads. And as it intros, like, the little campaign missions, it's got all the presentation. It's very inspired by StarCraft II. I never played Command & Conquer, so people might be saying, well, Command & Conquer did it first. Like, okay, whatever. But Grey Goo features, I've just been playing the campaign. I'm not a multiplayer person, but it starts you off as an alien race, which is very different, I find, from most RTSs. Usually they put you in the familiar human shoes. But
that's true.
Yeah, the humans aren't anywhere to be seen in the game until further on in the campaign. It's actually kind of a spoiler, so I won't tell you like where they come in. But it was really unique in the way that they've introduced the main alien race, which are called the Beta, which is super confusing in conversation. Because it's like, yeah, I've been playing the Beta campaign. I'm like, oh, I thought that game was released. No, it's the race. It's not an early access. This is a full game.
You'd think that they would have thought about that.
Well, I think it's actually, there's a lot of alien races called the Beta. Like, I think Star Trek has a Beta race. I think maybe StarCraft or Star Wars as well. But anyways, you play as the Betas. It's got interesting base management controls in the sense that everything's on your QWERTY, your QWERTY line here. So QWERTY, and that controls all your buildings. So you queue up. Say you want to queue up your main facility, you go QQ, Q. And then that, like, it sounds like QQQ. It's like, yeah, everybody QQ. And that brings up your building, you can place it, and it's all done through the keys, right? As opposed to navigating to the builder and then choosing a building, advanced building, and placing it. So it's unique
well,
in that.
Well, you can do the same thing in StarCraft. You just have to remember your key commands, but that's true. All there.
So this one's more visual in the sense that there's this bar, and then it shows you like the types of buildings, and then when you click on the associated letter, it like folds up and shows you even more options, and then you drill down even further. I found sometimes that it would cause issues in trying to build my base, but other times it was like once you got into it, it was really intuitive. But you actually start off as fighting this unknown race. And then you start fighting the Grey Goo, which is a very unique race. I think it's kind of their Zerg.
Okay.
In that most of the people you're fighting are these giant blobs. And the giant blobs, like, absorb your buildings and your units and stuff. It's actually kind of freaky. And I've not played as the Grey Goo yet, but from what I understand, they start off as these giant blobs. And then you can choose to morph those giant blobs into, like, other units. And
oh,
I think
cool.
I think the blobs are like your buildings.
So yeah, that's very Zerg-like because you have to morph all your drones into stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
as Zerg.
Except I think in this you're like again I haven't played them yet, but I get the sense that you're building up these giant blobs, and then you're choosing to use them, turn them from these buildings into units as resources. And that's the other thing; it's got a weird resource system. There's one resource. And you kind of you mine that one resource until it's gone, and there's like a resources per second meter on it, and that dictates how much resources you're bringing in. And you can actually queue up a bunch of buildings, and it will put out resources to those buildings as it sees fit. So you can queue up all your buildings, but then you're going to wait the entire game to get them all built because it's like. It's like a queue. It's not a queue system. It's happening all at once, all in parallel, using your resources.
Oh,
so as soon as you get
okay.
more resources in, the buildings kick back up again and start production. So the reason I probably found it so difficult when I was playing is that most of my buildings had this little symbol above them that said, "You don't have enough resources. You should probably stop building shit." So
and you just didn't pay attention?
I'm terrible at RTSs, but I enjoy them.
We should go play StarCraft.
We should. Although,
1v1.
Yeah, well, no. That sounds terrible. Comp Stomp is more my thing. And I really enjoy campaigns for RTSs, and I am really enjoying the Grey Goo campaign. But I find what Blizzard does is they primarily set up a for-fun campaign. It's not too difficult. It's just for fun. And you get the story and everything. And I'm really enjoying the story of Grey Goo, learning about these new races and how they're interacting with the humans and this Grey Goo and this other race they keep talking about that I haven't seen yet. But I find it so difficult, like it's not balanced correctly. And I think it really is just because I'm terrible at RTSs. So someone who's really good at RTSs will be like, yeah, this is actually really easy, Ryan. You're just really bad at this game.
Josh in the chat room is saying that the building queue system is very Command and Conquer-esque.
Yeah, so they probably just continued from that line and, and put it in this game. But I don't know. I'm really digging the story, and I've just switched over to the human campaign. And if anybody is interested, I have I uploaded a couple of gameplay videos to my YouTube, and you can check it out, both the beta campaign and the human campaign. So you can kind of – and all the races are very different from what I understand. Like,
I think I'm actually probably going to go and watch some of that because I've really been itching for a good RTS. I played StarCraft against Clark, which don't ever play StarCraft against Clark. He's like freaking Diamond or some shit. And I'm just like, man, he owns me every single time. Anyways, yeah, so I was playing with Clark, and even though he totally kicked my ass, it was so fun. And I'm just like, oh, I miss this experience, but I don't really want to get back into StarCraft. I was never competitive anyway. But I would really like a single-player campaign. So I think what I'm going to do, I still have Battle for Middle-earth lying around here somewhere. And I loved that game. Loved it. And especially now that I'm more into gaming and I kind of understand RTS is a little bit better. Because basically, like, I was just very single-player oriented when I was playing that game. And I wasn't really in the scene, wasn't talking to other gamers. I was very much a closet geek, closet gamer for a really long time. So,
That's not very fun.
No, it was not fun, but I was judged.
Oh, so what?
I just kept it to myself.
Break them over the cold. What's happening here? No one should. I hope we're beyond that point where people like.
Well, yeah, that was like.
Back although, mind you, it's not a. I don't think it's not a gender thing. It's an everything thing. There are still people out there who are like, oh. What do you like? I took a week off. Next week I'm off, and I'm going to do some work. But I'm also going to like literally just sit down and play games. I know, confusing. Ryan's going to focus and play some video games for once. But like everybody I talked to, oh, where are you going on your holidays? Like, gonna play some
to
video
my
games.
Living room, yeah. Where my PS4 is.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay. Well, have fun. I guess. Yeah. Like, it's a question. but that's an exaggeration.
But yeah, so anyways, point is, I didn't really know much about RTSs outside of, like, the kind of tutorial and tooltips and the stuff that pops up in the game that you're playing. So, yeah, I feel like I will get more out of it and I will be better at it now than I was then. But even then, I loved that game. It just... Man, it's so good. So I really want to get back into an RTS, and I was thinking of doing that, but then at the same time, I'm like, oh, if Grey Goo is actually good and interesting and on par with StarCraft, then I should jump into that. How much does that Grey Goo cost? Is it like an indie or a AAA?
It is. It's tough. It's not a $70 game. It's I'm just going to look it up now. It's actually $49.99. So it's
also kind of middle of the road.
Middle of the road.
That's not bad.
And I think it's worth it for just this. If you're just going to play the single player, like 50 might be a bit much. It's actually 55 Canadian, but so it just keeps piling. But I think the campaign's long enough that it's kind of worth the price of admission. And if you do pick it up, and it looks like Josh is interested in giving a chance, we could play some multiplayer, some
is
comp
there- stomp. Co-op stuff? Oh, okay, so we can play against computer. Because I was going to say, like, I don't want to get to the point where I have to be competitive in another game. Like, Hearthstone is my competitive, hardcore, try-hard game right now. I don't need another one. So if we can do, like, us against a computer or, like, 2v2 or something just with friends, then I'd be into that.
I'd be down for that. It's a lot of fun, and I'm really liking the story, and it's nice to play something. Like, I love StarCraft 2, and I love Blizzard stories. But it's nice to experience some other people's stories once in a while. And this is a really good story.
Yeah. So we're going to have to, I think, move this along because, we still have Game of Thrones to talk about. So before we do, I just wanted to remind everybody that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. Also, they are discontinuing their super duper cool custom side panels. So if you have been waiting to get one, or if you already have a doghouse that has the removable side panels, maybe check them out because they won't last forever and they're not doing them anymore. So doghousesystems.com. Really, really cool stuff. There's some podcast art. I know Angry Chicken has a custom side. Then there's also some Blizzard licensed sides as well. Mm-hmm. A really cool alliance and really cool Horde artwork. So yeah, head on over, check out doghousesystems.com, and maybe pick yourself up a side panel. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that, because I mean, custom printed side panels are so cool. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I don't have one. I have my doghouse has the old chassis that doesn't have the removable side panel thing. So I unfortunately don't have a cool custom side panel, but I do have a doghouse, and I'm actually wondering if I can just like give them a shout and be like, "Hey, can I just buy the case?" But then I'm also so intimidated, because then I'm like, then I'd have to take all the guts of my computer out of one case and put it into another case, and that would be the most like disassembling and reassembling of a computer I've ever done.
That sounds like pain.
Terrifying.
Yeah, that too, but mostly yeah. Sounds like pain.
Yeah, so we'll see. But anyways, yeah, so yeah. Check out doghousesystems.com, and if you can, grab yourself one of those custom side panels. Super cool. So if you guys haven't played episode 2 of Game of Thrones, we are going to spoil the crap out of it. But it has been out for a month, so I figure everyone who wanted to play it did play it. Yeah. I just played it tonight because I didn't really want to play it.
Oh, well, you know what? Actually, we will say this right now. We're not doing another road to Halo 4. I refuse to put you through that again. So after this, if you are not enjoying it, then I think you should play it at your own pace. I didn't want to play it.
I didn't want to play it because I really did not enjoy episode 1. Episode 2 is better.
Good.
Not great.
I agree.
But better.
It's no Wolf Among Us. It's not even. I wouldn't even put it above Walking Dead. I really enjoyed Walking Dead, so that's probably not saying much. But yeah, Wolf Among Us as the bar, the gamers in bar for Telltale titles, it has not hit that yet. But no, it is a vast improvement over episode 1. Anyways, you just played it, so I want to hear what you thought first.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I still have the issue with the graphics, and I don't know if it's my settings. I don't think it is.
It's not.
But I'm still getting the, like, that really weird, like, edge. The edges of stuff look almost pixelated. Like, but yeah. not in a jaggy, like, blurred. Anti-aliasing way. In, like, there's pixels missing and stuff, and it just kind of blurs. Is pixelated at the same time? Are you having that issue? Is that like a stylistic choice? Because it looks like crap.
That's a stylistic choice, and it does look like crap. I mean,
it's terrible, terrible. Like, there's the part where, so again, spoilers. This is your chance to turn off the episode, turn off the stream. Spoilers.
There's really not a lot in this series that's worth spoiling. I mean,
yeah. So basically. We find out right at the very beginning that the eldest brother of House Forrester is actually still alive. He's pretty beat up because he was at the Battle of the Twins. So he's basically right at the very beginning getting carted in a pile of dead bodies, mm-hmm. which includes his father. And he's getting carted back up to House Forrester because they think he's dead.
Yeah.
I don't know why nobody checked, but basically they think he's dead, so he's being carted back up for the funeral. But anyway, spoiler alert, he's still alive. So there's this part later on where he's like walking on a, I can't remember if it's when it's he's using Ethan's sword or when he's actually using a cane, but one way or another, there is some sort of walking stick involved. And it's like one pixel wide. Because they did the weird edgy thing.
Right.
And it doesn't even, he's like standing on this thing that looks like it's going to snap because it's like this big. I'm just like, oh my God, who decided this was a good idea? Like, I kept checking my settings and trying to change things and work to fix it. Uh-huh. I'm just like, oh, I can't even look at this. There was also one point where there was like my character who I can't even remember which one it was I was playing at the time because mm-hmm. It's like most other titles where you jump around playable characters. I think actually Wolf Among Us was the one that didn't really do that. You were just Bigby all the time.
Yeah, Wolf Among Us didn't do it. I'm trying to think of other Telltale games that did. I know the Borderlands one does. Maybe this is just the year that Telltale games can't choose which character to focus on.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, but anyways, whatever character I was playing... one of the other guys walked past me and you could actually see through my head.
Hmm.
It was just like where my ear was. It was like there was a hole from my ear to my eye, and I could see the guy walk by. I was like, weird.
Now, this is using the same engine that The Wolf Among Us is using. But you think it's the stylistic choice that's getting in the way.
I think you. So. And okay. I just, because The Wolf Among Us looked fine.
Yeah.
You know, there were a few parts that I was kind of like, well, I wish that looked a little bit better. But there, it was never, you know, like, what is going on right now? Mm-hmm. Like, this looks like glitchy, like my computer's not working properly, like graphic errors as opposed to graphic choices. So, but I don't know. Like, it just, yeah, there were little things like that that made mm-hmm. me not like it so much. But at the same time, there were also moments like when we see Jon Snow. Oh, man, the conversation with him going up the elevator, I really, really enjoyed because he's one of my favorite Game of Thrones characters just in general. Overall, I found my biggest problem, I think, with Game of Thrones is that of all the choices, there was only one that wasn't even a choice. It was just kind of like an event and how that event played out. But everything else where there was a choice, it was like you and 94% of players did this. Mm. You and 96% of players did this. And I'm just like, so basically you're not really presenting compelling decisions. I remember in Wolf Among Us, it was like you and 52% did this. You and 49% did this. Like they were real like divisive decisions. Mm. And in this one, it's just like, no, everybody, you know, like tried to save the this or kill the that, you know, like there is no real choice. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that didn't work out for me, or the one thing that was middle of the road, is it was like you and 54% of players failed to keep your betrothal to whoever chick face was.
You failed as well.
I did fail. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went the romantic route. That was a mistake.
I did that. I think I did that as well, but
at one point I even said, "But I love you." Oh, I was like, "This isn't gonna work. This is like last ditch effort."
I was like, "Pull up, pull up!" You know, so I gave up before that.
Yeah. So I mean, that was the only one that even then, like, it wasn't. Again, like I say, it wasn't really a choice. It was an event, a conversation that had one of two outcomes. And even then, the reason that I just kind of went, well, I'm just going to go the romance route is because I really felt like no matter what I did, it wasn't going to change the outcome. I really felt like that betrothal was just doomed from the start. Mm-hmm. And I felt that way with most of the things that I did in the game. I felt that way with the interaction with Tyrion and like selling the lumber. I felt that way with the thing at the end with what's his name? I can't even remember. The White Hills? Is that the
yes.
family you're fighting with, your the oldest rivals or whatever? Mm-hmm. With them, I felt like that interaction didn't feel like it was going to go any other way. Like, it felt like they were going to get the Ironwood no matter what I did in that situation.
Yeah, and I think so maybe they're taking...
I feel like that a lot with Telltale's Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Maybe Game of Thrones as a series doesn't work well as a Telltale series because it's just Game of Thrones is you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. That is the rule set for that series.
That's true. And it's also very big. There's a lot of kind of cogs working together in Game of Thrones. And it's not as linear or as simple as a Wolf Among Us or a Walking Dead. You know, like there are tons of different families and houses and locations. And it's like you can't do something like, say, even something that seems as simple as like the Ironwood. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the episode, you have to get to a place where, you know, the Foresters don't have any Ironwood left. They can't still have half their Ironwood. Otherwise, it would be two totally different episodes in episode 3. So you have to get everybody to the same place in order to keep all of the storylines working together. And there's just so many storylines that I think you're right. It just doesn't really work as a Telltale title. Yeah. You need to have something where there aren't a whole lot of external storylines that all have to come together in the end. because it just doesn't work to give the player the sense that the conversations that they're having are meaningful and the choices that they're making will actually impact things. Because I just don't feel like I'm having an impact.
It feels forced as well. Like, well, we need one of the family members because you're only playing as the Foresters. We need one of the family members in King's Landing. I was like, okay, well, send one of the daughters over there. But doesn't that sound a lot like, you know, that Sansa chick? It's like, yeah, but don't worry about it. It's fine. And then they do the same thing. Oh, we'll need someone exiled to the East or whatever. And it's like, okay, yeah, we'll put one out there. But isn't that a lot like that other dude following that dragon chick? It's like, yeah, that is a lot like that. But don't worry. It's fine. It's Game of Thrones.
It's not the same. It's Game of Thrones. They have different names. It's totally different.
I enjoyed episode 2. I thought it was snappier, which is probably why you were able to finish it before we recorded. Did you feel it was shorter than episode 1?
No, I felt it was pretty much the same in terms of actual time. It felt shorter, but I know it wasn't actually shorter. It took me about 2 hours to do both of them. So
yeah, it was, but it
still
felt
the same
snappier.
Amount of content, but it felt a little bit faster. Yeah. Although, when I was going through, I kept thinking like, okay, I just got achievement number 5. Shit. I only have like half an hour left. I got to, you know, 3 more achievements in half an hour. I got to go. And the thing that always kind of messed me up, and the thing that I hate the most about all Telltale games, and that's never going to change, is the like QuickTime events. Hate them.
They're terrible. Yeah.
They are awful. They pop up out of nowhere, and it's not even like you have a choice of what you're going to do. It's not like it's a control that you can kind of like learn. Like, you know, E to swing your weapon or something like that, and then like WASD to move. And it's not actually dynamic combat. It's like literally out of nowhere, like Q will flash up on your screen or A will flash up on your screen. And if you don't do it exactly right, you have to redo the scene over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, this isn't even, it's not fun. It doesn't add anything to the game. Like, yeah. I would have rather just had some sort of like, I don't know, cutscene. You know, like, and had no interaction with the fight whatsoever. Because the only outcome of the fight is that, you know, whatever the outcome of the fight is, you win, you lose, whatever. But there's only one outcome because it makes you redo it until you hit A at exactly the right time over and over and over and over and over until you see the fight happen.
And then mash the other button to make sure it sticks. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, I did that opening fight scene in the bar probably 18 times, and I almost gave up on the game because I was just like, I didn't quite realize that it was the same mechanic as when you were cheersing the chick where you had to hit it at just the right time. It had, like, the shrinking square. Mm-hmm. So when the shrinking square got to the same size as the W, you had to hit W. And so it was a timing thing. I thought, like, every other time it's ever come up, other than that cheersing thing, mm-hmm. as soon as it pops up on the screen, you have to hit it. And then sometimes it would pop up on the screen and it would just be an arrow. And sometimes it would pop up on the screen and it would be like A. And so I'm just like, these are the exact same things. You want me to push the arrow key / the A key, but you're giving me 2 different visual cues mm-hmm. in the same fight. Like, I just, oh man, it's so poorly executed. It's terrible. And there's no point to it whatsoever. Like, this is just a narrative. And so I feel like with Game of Thrones, Telltale's really failing at both things. It's not an action game, or they're not doing that well. And then they're also not doing the narrative well, because I don't feel like my choices matter. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's really the biggest thing in these Telltale adventure-type games, is you have to feel like the narrative of the story is compelling and things that you're doing matter. And I don't feel like that with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It did scare the crap out of me, though.
Nah.
When you're playing as the chick in King's Landing and you're in the courtyard at night, mm-hmm. And again, spoiler alert, guys, you're in and you're meeting up with this Lannister guard, and essentially he's supposed to assassinate you. So he like knocks you over and you're crawling away and you're on the ground, and I'd already failed once. So basically what happens is he grabs you from behind, picks you up and stabs you. So this is the second attempt.
So you got
because
stabbed?
Again,
So you got stabbed.
Oh yeah. I failed. I got stabbed
failed.
And I died.
Okay.
Yeah. And then so I was trying it again, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting here and I'm like, and it's like, use WASD to move or whatever and get away. So I'm pressing the buttons trying to get away, and my cat decides that that point in time would be a great time to jump up from the floor onto my shoulder. He has never done that ever. I swear to God, I jumped so high. Just totally. And so again, the game didn't scare the crap out of me. My freaking cat did.
So what you're saying is all Telltale games need to ship with a fully equipped cat.
Yes.
To make them
who knows exactly when to jump at what body part that will get the adrenaline pumping.
You know what might be a solid proposition at this point? It sounds like we probably need to put Game of Thrones to bed. Obviously, I'll probably continue to play it. But
I will too, because I mean, in the end, it was a fairly interesting story. Mm-hmm. I really like Game of Thrones as a universe. Mm-hmm. There were some parts of this that I thought could go in an interesting direction, especially since my betrothal has now failed. And I did like the brother in the East, the exiled one.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty cool, and he had some pretty cool dialogue options. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? I think I like this character a lot, so I want to see where it goes. But at the same time, I'm kind of just like, I don't need to play it as soon as it comes out. I don't feel that, like, Wolf Among Us feel where I was just like, I need to know what happens right now. I'm just kind of like, I'll get to it eventually. Basically, when I feel like watching Game of Thrones and there's no Game of Thrones available to me, I will probably play episode 3.
We'll see in June.
After the season is done, I'll just be like, okay.
I'm right there with you. Like, I didn't even play this. I mean, I did play it a couple weeks ago, but like you said, the game's been out for a month, and for me to wait like a week and a half to play it, like even when Walking Dead was coming out, like I was right there. And with Wolf Among Us, same thing. So what I think we should do is you should play Stranger Than Life.
Life is Strange. Yes.
Yeah. You should play that.
See,
and then when the
second
episode comes out,
that's one that I'm really enjoying, and it's the same sort of idea. It's, you know, conversation options with some really cool mechanics, but see, in that case, I feel like they've done a really good mechanical choice, I guess, with your ability to turn back time.
Yeah,
I like it. I think it's cool.
It's a really cool game, and maybe when episode 2 comes out, we can give it this treatment as opposed to having, like, Game of Thrones is great. I'll play it when we play it, but at this point, I think, like, the setup of the game isn't going to change. It's just the story. Like, and if the story isn't interesting, it's probably not worth bringing up. But they are doing 6 episodes, so it'll be interesting to see why they needed that extra episode, why they felt they needed it.
I feel bad because I really hate being so negative, but at the same time, like, I don't want people to run out and buy this Telltale title just because it's a Telltale title and it's Game of Thrones. Like, I really want people to understand it's not.
But that's the issue is, and we talked about review scores last episode. We were, I think not last week, but the week before. And this game is just getting praised, like, by reviewers for its story. And it's like, and I've heard reviewers say, and it's, again, reviews are about opinions, and it's their opinions. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And I'm allowed to disagree with it. Not with vitriol and negativity, but just by, you know, disagreeing like a normal human being. In that, I think that, the story's interesting. They're telling stories that other games aren't. But at a certain point, I cannot get past the fact that they're all puppets and the art styles are weird and they need to upgrade the engine. We are at a point, like, Life is Strange at least is an updated engine and looks current, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's still stylized and has some rough edges with the VO and the lip syncing, but it's a nice welcome change, especially if Telltale's insistent on using the same engine every time.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, so if you want to show off your TGI pride, you can do so by going to slashloot.com. That is S-L-A-S-H, loot.com, and grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other shirts, including your favorite podcasts like Azeroth. Roundtable, Torn Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. Head on over to slashloop.com to show off your podcast pride. That brings us to listener feedback. First of all, before we go into emails, I wanted to thank Hardboiled Greg, who is our patron of the week. Thank you very much for supporting the show. As you guys know, all the support goes to making Gamers In Game Night a thing. So that is every Thursday night. We stream usually to twitch.tv/GISGamer. sometimes to twitch.tv/thegamersin, sometimes to both, depending on what we're playing and if two views of the same game would be entertaining. All of our patrons make that a thing. Make it so that Ryan and I have to stream once a week, at least. So
have to. We have a lot. It's fun to have scheduled game time. It's like, I gotta play video games. The patrons have demanded it.
Exactly. So thank you very much, Hardboiled Greg. Again, if you would like to donate to our Patreon campaign, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thegamersin. We appreciate each and every one of you. So our emails this week, we got two. Ryan, do you want to take Lou's email here?
Sure. Lou, the lovely busy zombie lord, I will continue to call him lovely, has wrote in on Game Reviews. He says, "Hi, Ryan and Jocelyn. Reviews are a thing that are close to my heart. I grew up reading EGM and Nintendo Power until my early 20s. I feel for most consumers, they only care about score, not in the way you think either. They have already made up their minds about what they think. Reviews for them is a confirmation that their purchase is justified. Personally, I hate review scores. They are one of the many tools in a writer's toolbox, but publishers depend on them far too often. We've heard of the dreaded Metascore, get it for your bonus type thing. For myself, I have been reading reviews and writing my own for far too long to be fully objective. My philosophy on all of it is to find a few reviewers with similar tastes to your own, get their take on what game you want to purchase. It won't be perfect, but I find I buy less crappy games that way. Also, on a side note, I find IGN and Polygon useless for reviews. I disagree with almost every review I read on their site."
Fair enough.
Yeah, and I agree with a good portion of this email. I've been finding myself moving away from IGN and Polygon more and more. I have latched on to reviewers that I really enjoy. But it's not even about reviewers. Like, I remember having a conversation with you, Jocelyn, and it's not even about reviewers. It's about peers, right? Like, if somebody enjoys a game, like it happened tonight, like me talking about Grey Goo, like, I really enjoyed Grey Goo. It's an RTS. Sounds like something you'd be into. It's like, I might check out that game, or at the very least, watch a video of it, and to see if it's, you know, to get more information. Scores are becoming less and less important, and we see that with the websites dropping scores. Some reviewers like actually attaching a score to a review. It's all a matter of opinion, and
I would rather have something along the lines of, like, buy, rent, skip. You know, like, don't tell me, you know, if you think it's an 8 or a 9 or a 10. Like, it's too subjective. But if you tell me, like, yes, I would spend my hard-earned dollars on this game, or, you know what, I would give this game a shot, but maybe don't go out and buy it, or skip it entirely, it's not worth your money. Those are the kind of scores that I think are actually worthwhile. It's like, do I feel like the reviewer would actually throw their own money at this game?
Yeah, and most reviewers try to take into mind that games are expensive for people. Here in Canada, AAA titles are $70. If our dollar continues to suffer, they could be $75 by the time summer hits. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a reality Jocelyn and I live in with AAA titles. So when you look at games like Evolve, you know, I don't think I would have picked that up if not for my friends. Game.
And, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, that too. That
because I thought you were going to say the sale.
Well, the sale helps, but like, I think really what drove it home, I would have paid $60 for it, or $70 or whatever it was, knowing that I was going to play with other people. And Josh in the chat room is even saying, the only reason I picked it up is because I watched you guys playing it, and you guys were having a lot of fun. And then we played that on game night.
It's a super fun, fun title.
So don't always just rely on reviews. Don't rely on the Metacritic 8.0 or above average. I knew people that said, like, I don't play games that are under 8.0 on Metacritic. And I'm like, what? So if someone bombs, like, The Legend of Zelda, like, you won't touch it, even though it's probably one of the greatest games ever made? Like, that doesn't make sense. And this happens. Like, you know, a game doesn't appeal to someone, they bomb the review and sets off Metacritic in a weird way. And it's like, just do your research. That's all that matters.
Very, very true. Our second email this week comes to us from Sweden. It says, "Longtime listener from Sweden here by the name of Jesper. I've got a spare key for Tomb Raider that I got from the latest Humble Bundle. I already own the game and thought maybe you guys could give it away to someone who would appreciate it. So we have Tomb Raider on PC to give away." So, Ryan, do you have any ideas of how we might do this?
I don't. I forgot about it last week and mentioned it in passing. I had said, like, write an email. And so, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe write in an email about... I had said, what game are you looking forward to in 2015, considering we're getting another Tomb Raider this year, which kind of was a very loose connection. But maybe if you haven't played Tomb Raider before, let us know. Like, we're kind of at a point where this game is not very recent, so.
Hmm. Yeah, no, just shoot us an email. Yep.
Yeah, shoot us an email. Absolutely. Say whatever you want. Write a long story about your grandmother. That's fine.
We might read it on air.
Maybe. My grandmother is the best grandmother. Cookies. I don't know. What do grandmothers do?
I'm just going to leave that one alone. So if you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersandpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt, which I actually think I can change. They're... YouTube has just come out recently saying that you can actually change your YouTube if you have 500 subscribers or more, and they're going to start emailing eligible accounts. So really? I don't know if I have 500 or not. I don't think so. I think I'm somewhere around 300, but maybe eventually we'll be able to change that to something a little bit more, I don't know, relevant. That's not just my first name, my last name, because it's kind of hard to spell.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google Plus. So if you'd like to email us, email the show in order for... Oh my God, I can't talk. Oh, okay, let's try this again. If you'd like to email the show and tell us why you deserve to have a copy of Tomb Raider, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for tuning into The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.